Blog Talk Radio.
Frantic because you are trying to get that work done before you have to go home tomorrow for the rest of the week. I don't miss that at all. Do you miss it, Ginger?
No, not at all. But then again, see, I worked in a different field altogether, so we didn't get holidays off.
Oh, you're in the pharmacy, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you didn't get holidays off.
Not get holidays off because you people get sick every holiday. Full moon holiday. Whatever's going on, y'all are all in the ER for, like, sniffles and stuff. It's like, really?
Well, happy Monday.
It's like I want to put a sign on the door. If you are not bleeding, we don't want to see you.
You know what is amazing? How many people go to the pharmacist for medical advice? You got a lot of that, didn't you?
Oh, I could tell you horror stories. Horror stories.
My toe is bleeding.
Down their pants.
What, down their pants? You broke up. What?
One guy comes in and yanks down his pants to show us a rash.
Oh, Lord.
Pull your pants back up, dude. I don't know. I don't want to know.
Some parts, being in the medical field does give you interesting stories to tell, I will say that, about some of the things you see people say and do. You're like, oh, my God. Why would you do that?
Because people are stupid as a whole, and they do stupid stuff. I love y'all. Don't get me wrong. I love y'all. But, yeah.
J. Duke says, I got to trash up the place already. He knows he's happy to trash up the place. You're leaving that day anyway. So you were lucky enough to have the week off. So just so you know, Ginger and I have just discussed it literally seconds before the show started. We will not be here Thursday. Nobody will be here.
No. Thursday, I'm going to be getting my grub on at a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I can't cook. Well, I should say I can't cook, but yesterday I did cook a whole bunch of stuff.
You know what? You're a Southern girl, so your version of can't cook is not the same as somebody else's version of can't cook.
We're talking two pumpkin pies, a batch of gingerbread cookies, and a whole mess of other stuff.
See, it's people that can't begin to know how to make any of that.
Oh, and icing from scratch.
See, Ginger, people can't do that. That's not a kid cook. That's just certain things that I don't cook well yet. Need practice, but that's not can't cook. Can't cook means I can't boil an egg without burning it.
I have exploded eggs, which are very hard to get off a sealing when it has popcorn sealing.
But it's very good. It's very tasty exploded eggs. If you can explode them without actually exploding, if you can get them to explode in the pan, it's good. Don't ask me how I know that. I'm sorry.
Jay, you and I are going to have to sit and exchange some medical stories one of these days.
We'll all need to exchange medical stories. I bet mine are worse. Mm-hmm. I was at OB-GYN's office. Yeah.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to sleep with that over the weekend.
Yeah, no. Mine are stuff like what people stuffed inside themselves and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Had a few of those, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it got stuck. That's why you don't put that in the chair.
I do believe when this was growing on your body, it did not have a sign that said this goes here. Because, No.
There's a reason. No. Never mind. Do not.
It needs that on there. Do not insert. Oh, we need to get on the news. We're all off subject.
Good morning, people. I'm bad.
Happy Monday before the Thanksgiving.
Yes, now that we've grossed you all out.
Yeah, don't eat your turkey. Because I could tell you some stories about that, too.
Oh, no. No.
I'm not going to. All right. So you guys are getting ready to buy good stuff, getting ready for the holidays, trying to figure out what to buy. Ginger, may I tell them what they really want? May I?
You may.
Well, according to VentureBeat this morning, all of you want an iPad.
Oh, no.
Although Amazon's cheap, very cheap Kindle Fire is indeed chipping away at the iPad's dominance among potential tablet buyers, at least according to one survey, 65% of people who said they're interested in buying a tablet are planning to get Apple's $499 iPad, while 22% are looking forward to the $199 Kindle Fire, according to the latest report from ChangeWave Research. The company surveyed about 3,000 of you in North America here, 14% of which said they plan to buy a tablet within the next 90 days. That means probably, if you're smart, wait till the day after Christmas.
Yes, wait till the day after Christmas, or start, you know, wait till about a week after New Year's.
Oh, those are really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Those should be coming on, yeah.
They'll be sales. Well, it depends on the tax thing, how well they did before.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they did really well before Christmas, maybe New Year's sale good. But if they didn't do well, the day after Christmas, they're trying to get rid of it because, you know, you got to pay taxes on that inventory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you got to know how to shop people.
Yeah.
And they'll be dirt cheap. All right. So the above, the numbers. I'm going to get it out. While it may not seem like much, that's just a jump over ChangeWave's data from last year, in which only 4% said they wanted to buy a tablet, when the iPad was really the only choice for most of you. And I am choking to death. That's fun. In August, the company found that 6% of consumers there were 6% of consumers interested in getting a tablet. The cause of that big shift between August and this most recent study is planned to see, of course, the arrival of the cheap Kindle Fire is pushing many consumers to finally snap up a tablet. J.P. Morgan estimated that Amazon could sell up to 5 million Kindle Fire units this year. For the more discerning customer, disappointed by Kindle Fire's middling reviews, its release may convince them to bite the bullet and get an iPad. I don't think, we haven't had it, so.
I know.
Kindle people send us
a Nuke.
Mm-hmm.
And Nuke people, yeah, I'm totally not getting paid for this, but I love my Nuke. I love my Nuke.
I like their ad. They had a nice ad. They have one of my favorite actresses doing the ad for that. The lady, she's from Glee, Jane. I can never remember Jane's last name, but do you really need to? She needs to just be one name status, Jane.
Yes.
Jane.
She's a chick, right?
Huh?
Jane's the blonde chick, right?
Yeah, yeah. Very tall, tall, blonde woman. Very funny comedic actress. I love her on Glee. I loved her in The 40-Year-Old Virgin. She's just, yeah.
I love my Nuke. I was reading from it last night. A trashy steampunk romance.
Oh, I'm going to need you to tell me where you find trashy romances. Only Ginger can find stuff like that.
Anyway, those are free, too.
But those of you who are planning to pick up a Kindle, let us know. We actually, I don't know why we didn't review this one. You know, we have no contacts over at Amazon. Maybe we'll see if we can grab one and see if we like it.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to.
Ginger, are you all right? Are you choking to death?
Apparently. I wasn't. I haven't coughed at all this morning until, like, 2 minutes before the show. I don't know what's going on.
I'm trying to say you're allergic to the show. Fine, be that way.
Apparently. I'm allergic to Corey's awesomeness. Yeah.
All right, it's happened before.
All right. I'm going to pull this story from GamePolitics.com this morning. EA fails to clarify murky ban policy.
Yeah.
All right, so Electronic Arts claims that it is formulating on more equitable rules in the wake of numerous bans from its forums that have locked some users out of games on its Origin service. The Escapist does a nice job chronicling the events that really began this problem back in March when a Malby BioWare social network user earned a 72-hour ban in the forums and found that he's also been locked out of Dragon Age 2, a game that he paid money for. And the ban affected single player, which was most confusing of all. Other users mentioned similar problems with BioWare games. Fast forward to today, and we learned that the shenanigans continue. Rock Paper Shotgun reported this week that its readers reported being banned from EA forums and not being able to access Battlefield 3 or any other games tied to their EA accounts. EA offered a response to RPS, but it doesn't address or even discuss serving forum bans from service it doesn't even discuss severing forum bans from service bans. All right, so what do they got to say? With every game and service EA offers, we take the satisfaction of our customers very seriously. We discourage cheating and strive to maintain a high level of integrity in both our games and our forums. Therefore, when someone violates our terms of service, we are forced to take actions that include suspensions and other measures. We do not take those decisions lightly. However, the integrity of our service and the satisfaction of our customers requires a clear set of rules. This is coming from John Reisberg from EA Corporate Communications.
We don't care about him, but what did he say?
We have listened to our customers and are planning a policy update, which will include more equitable rules on suspensions. We want to make sure that the time fits the crime. As well with all technology updates, these changes take some time to implement. Meanwhile, we urge any user with a question about suspensions of our policies to please contact us at 866-543-5435. Yes, please call them and rant and rave. Of course,
record it so we can play it on the show.
Yes, please do. And of course, none of this clears up the issue related to forum bans. Apparently, it's only safe to get in trouble on EA-related forums if you don't have any type of service tied to that account. While EA said earlier this year with the BioWare network bans that it was an accident, it sure seems like what's going on now is a policy. Hopefully, EA clarifies just what its user base can expect when they get banned in a forum. Hello, EA. I just spent money on it. Oh, I didn't. I'm not going to buy your crap. But somebody just spent money on your games, and you're going to lock them out because it's something you found offensive that they said on a forum. I found this utterly stupid. This is not right. If they paid you $60 for a game, they should be able to at least play it in first person.
Sure.
If you want to block them from multiplayer, that's fine. But this whole blocking them from single player, when they paid you money to own that game, this is wrong. And I think they should be able to sue you.
All right. Yes, they, yeah. I don't even, this is EA. What do we expect? Honestly.
Yeah, I guess. Seriously, this is just, whose idea was this, EA?
Theirs. Theirs, that's why. Okay, there is some major drama going on with one of my favorite companies, Telltale Games.
Oh, I like Telltale Games.
Versus Metacritic.
Uh-oh. What game?
Wait one moment. I'm getting to it. Let me spill this juice properly. It's clear my throat. Okay. Telltale the Games, according to GI.biz, has responded to recent allegations that its employees posted perfect 10 scores for their own game on user review and score aggregator site Metacritic. Telltale Games does not censor or muzzle what its employees post in the internet. I'm kind of paraphrasing. That's in the company's official statement. However, it's been communicated internally that anyone who posts in an industry forum will acknowledge that they are a Telltale employee. In this instance, two people who were proud of the game they worked on posted positively on Metacritic under recognizable online forum and XBLA account names. GameSpot, you know, those guys over there. I'll say their name. They've said ours a few times. We'll share. Notice the unusual user scores for Jurassic Park, the game last week. When the game received four perfect 10 scores, Metacritic users have responded, scoring the game with revenge zeros and leading to an average user score of 2.9 based on 79% ratings. Two low-key developers from Telltale staff rates the game 10 on the user section of Metacritic, and suddenly you have waves of internet heroes rating it to zero to punish them, complained Metacritic user named Mangoose. Like, this isn't something that happens on every single game title released ever, you idiots. Adding a 10 just to mess things up. This whole conversation, Metacritic, yeah. You know, Metacritic's a great idea, but the fact that they exaggerate their importance, and I'm telling you, you exaggerate your importance as reviewers because it is your user reviews. The fact that it's a scandal because somebody comes over and rates their game, it shouldn't even be. It shouldn't make news. Who cares?
No, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. But on the other hand, you made the game. You know, Telltale, I love y'all. Y'all don't have to go and rate your own game up. People should be loving your games. Y'all make great games.
They do. They do. And the
that's thing, being proud of it and whatnot. But you have to think about these trolls.
What Metacritic should do, since you're going to say how important we are, and you shouldn't be coming over here, you know, lying to the players, is why don't you give them the company's a special login so that we know it's them, so that they can log in as themselves and, you know, rate their own game. Why wouldn't you? You have all their information there at one point. You were telling who they were, what their firstborn was, their address, but you won't give them a special login so that they can rate their game?
That is something. I mean, because I do. I love y'all, Telltale. Send me more games, by the way. I love y'all.
They make excellent games. And I'm not seeing the necessary problem with them saying they love what they made, but what I am having issue with Metacritic, actually. Yeah, this is not a real scandal in the strictest sense. I would go rate, you know, stuff too if it was mine. If we made a game, I would go over and rate it. And the other part is that they're also not taking into account is the first job I ever had was for Raymond, and it was for the company. I did internet marketing, and we are what you can call us ringers, whatever you want to call it, but this is what we did was go around and rate games and post in forums. And yes, I'm letting the cat out of the bag. So everybody that you see rating games may not necessarily be somebody who made it. Maybe somebody they hired to do marketing, and that's just the way it is. Get over it. So you never know who they are. We've had a couple come on our side. I know exactly who they are and why they're posting there, but that's why they're there. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to drum up, you know, talk about their game. That's what they're getting paid for. That's what the company paid them for, and that's what you're supposed to do. What you mad GameSpot? You mad Metacritic because they didn't buy ads from you? So you're like, well, out you? No. Why? Anyway.
I don't know.
The whole thing is ridiculous. Anyway.
Yes.
Good luck, Telltale. I haven't played your game, so I can't say yay or nay. And Metacritic.
I could play it and rate it for you, but it's about dinosaurs, and yeah, that's not happening.
Are you afraid of dinosaurs, too?
Terrified.
Oh, that is adorable.
You'll have no idea. Man, that movie came out. Oh, it was bad.
This girl is not afraid of hacking and slashing zombies, but she's afraid of
dinosaurs freaked out.
So if I had a game with zombie dinosaurs in it, I would scare you and Snow just all to pieces, wouldn't I?
Yes, you would.
I would laugh.
Dinosaurs, they give me nightmares. It's all icky. No, no.
Now, if they stand in the corner and bounce, then they'll scare me, and none of us could play it.
No, Jurassic Park came out, and I couldn't sleep for like a week. It was horrible.
That is amazing.
All right. Well, this is kind of interesting. Another story. GamePolitics.com. Yale professor creating game to teach the risks of being sexually active. While those who don't know anything at all about video games are quick to use them as an excuse for many of society's ills, crime, violence, obesity, attention deficit, and a myriad of psychological disorders, now everyone thinks they are bad. In fact, a growing number of academics see the value in video games as teaching aids. For example, a Yale professor who is trying to use them to teach sex education. The Center for Health, Intervention, and Prevention hosted a lecture by Lynn R. Filan, an associate professor at the Yale School of Medicine on Thursday, as part of its lecture series. Filan gave a lecture called The Game of Science and the Science of the Game, which explored a video game she is helping to develop, which helps inner-city youth better understand the risks associated with sex. The game teaches about the risks of HIV, sexually transmitted diseases, and pregnancies that will likely result from unprotected sex. During the lecture, Filan detailed the development process she and her colleagues are using to create this new type of video game. Filan explained how Farnham Neighborhood Health, an after-school and weekend programs for inner-city youth in New Haven, served as the site of many of her studies and interviews. Filan met with many of the youth there and discussed what they considered normal sexual activity and what the risks were associated with such activities. In talking with the kids, she learned that many understood that pregnancy was a risk, but they had peers because they had peers who had become pregnant. Pregnancy is much more proximal to them, so if we can demonstrate that there is a risk of HIV and STDs resulting from the same behavior that causes pregnancy, it may be easier for them to imagine. After conducting the interviews, Filan and her colleagues teamed with Shell Games. Jesse Shell, an associate professor of Carnegie Mellon University and author of The Art of Game Design, took an academic approach to the project. The video game now in development uses what Filan calls an aspirational avatar. This type of avatar forces players to imagine what their end goal is and what they want in the future and what the best way to negotiate that is. I used to love the game Life. Just like I invested in those two little plastic playing pieces, players of this game will be invested in making good choices. So it goes on about this, and it's actually kind of interesting. I think they'd be better off, this whole abstinence-only class thing is just not going to cut it, and B, handing out condoms. Seriously. I don't see the issue with this, but I don't know. Anyways, I think that's kind of cool. Video games, trying to teach children about being sexually active and what to watch out for out there and how to be safe. I think that is something that we should be teaching children. Yay, and Corey's all quiet.
Because I'm muted. I'm just talking. Just talking away. So probably you're going to see a group coming out against that game. Because,
yeah, probably. Because, you know, sex is evil and sex is bad. And, you know, children, you know, children should be having sex. But you know they are.
Yes, because if they don't know about it, that obviously stops them from doing it, right? That's always been working. Anyway.
Well, those are class. We're not going to teach you how to do it. But, yeah, like that stopped anybody.
Because we'll let you learn it the wrong way. All right, so Microsoft has is again stepping into some new territory, which I think is kind of interesting. Microsoft, according to Gamasutra, has announced a new initiative that will be providing a number of you developers out there with tools and resources to create business-focused programs for its motion-controlled Kinect hardware.
That's the best name.
Yes, the Kinect Accelerator is what it's going to be called. And it's looking to support entrepreneurs, engineers, and innovators who want to leverage the Kinect hardware to implement a range of business ideas. Developers are able to apply for the Kinect Accelerator grant now via the Microsoft website. Then 10 finalists will be chosen early next year to receive the funding. Finalists will receive $20,000, an Xbox development kit, the Windows Kinect SDK, and office space in Seattle, Washington, along with technical support and the mentorship from Microsoft executive and investors. And you know what that means. That means they own your butt.
Okay.
Each company will then be given the opportunity to present its ideas to Microsoft investors and venture capitalists on an investment demo day. Microsoft stated that it is looking for a wide range of entries, including programs focused on retail, education, healthcare, art installations, and gaming, as long as it can be turned into a commercial business. I do not know how retail is going to work with the Kinect. I don't see it.
My daughter also starts using Kinect. I'm out of there.
Oh, that's... Ooh. The Kinect Accelerator Program, of course, is part of the Microsoft's push for Kinect to be part of the business world. A beta version of the Kinect Windows SDK is currently available with multi-core skeletal tracking, just one of the features offered to developers. I do not see any price points for this yet if you just wanted to pick up the SDK demo. Oh, it's a beta. Let me see. That's all it got. Is it? Oh, no, you can just download it and go. So if you want to get that and start playing around with it, you developers out there, connectforwindows.org/features/ is where you can go and grab it. I will not be playing with this one. I want to. My finger is hovering over the download, but I've got like 5 SDK kits on my computer already. I got one for iOS, for Android, and some other iPad. And, like, I have time. My hands are shaking. Don't look at it.
No, I know. We're so busy. So, so busy.
Don't look at it. Cry. Look away from the SDK. Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay.
Hey, Corey. Game.
What? Cool, what?
New fishing game.
Well, see, you're not helping. My hands are already shaking. You're not helping.
I know, right? Big Bass Arcade for the WiiWare service. Big Bass Arcade from Big John Games will release November 24th on the WiiWare service for 500 Wii points. Mm-hmm. Big Bass Arcade follows in the footsteps of previous best-selling fishing games developed by Big John Games, including Big Bass Arcade for the Nintendo DSi, Zebco 3D Pro, FLW Professional Bass Tournament, USA Bass, and Trophy Bass 2007 for PC and Xbox.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Big Bass Arcade puts the fun and excitement back into fishing games. Big John Games utilized its 17 years of developing fishing video games to create thrilling, lifelike fish behaviors, spectacular visuals, and second-to-none fishing action evident from the first cast. Use the Wii Remote and Nunchuck as a virtual rod and reel to cast, reel, and control the fish fighting action.
I'm ignoring you. I'm ignoring this whole story. I refuse to comment. I don't want to talk about it. I don't know you.
No, you do. You know you do. Packed with features, Big Bass Arcade includes 5 fish species, 4 different lakes, 9 lures, 5 multi-lake tournaments, 20 challenges, free fishing, and a deep variety of fish size, weight, and behavior. Reel in largemouth bass, bass, northern pike, bluegill, and crappie. High scores attract for every event on your quest for the world record bass. All right. So Big Bass Arcade is rated E and will be available for download from the WiiWare service for 500 Wii points. Be sure to check out the game on November 24th, 2011. It's launched in your Wii tackle box.
All right.
And I've got this up on GameAndAtrix.com this morning if you want to head over there and check that out.
Ooh, there's stuff. Oh, phones are vibrating and stuff. Interesting. All right. Shpat, Ginger. All right. From straight out of Texas, I want to introduce you to a company called Flower Mound. Yes, I said.
Oh, Flower Mound. Good.
Flower Mound.
Sure. They were always our big time football rivals. Sorry.
Flower Mound?
Uh-huh.
Well, you'll be happy to hear this. Funimation Entertainment is based, of course, in Flower Mound, Texas, and has announced the launch of the highly anticipated iPhone game on the acclaimed anime series Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Developed by Good Game Productions, Full Metal Battle is a turn-based online collectible card game with an immediately recognizable RPG style of combat and is available now for the iPhone and iPod Touch. It will be followed shortly on the iPad. The game will also soon launch for Facebook Android. The
Android.
I'm going to say it like that forever. The iPhone and iPod Touch version, of course, is free for now. First to launch and can be downloaded from the iTunes Store for free. Metal Gear Solid. No. I have Metal Gear Solid on the brain. Full Metal Battle is free-to-play, turn-based collectible card game that lets players design their own state-licensed alchemist decks from a variety of abilities and effects inspired by the Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood series and proceed into battle against other online players. Immersed in a fictional universe styled after the European Industrial Revolution, players can also challenge popular Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood characters, including fan favorites Alphonse and Edward Elric, while receiving helpful tips from Roy Wood Mustang. This story will be up on Game and Atrix shortly. I'm not going to read the entire thing to you. I was never into the whole card game thing. I tried really hard.
Yeah.
Did you ever play them? Did you ever play them, Jen?
No.
No, never? Oh, wait. Something just popped into my mailbox.
Something good?
Oh, yes. I can't read it on the air. I can't tell you about it. I will tell you what it's about, ladies and gents, so you have to keep an eye out. We'll get you. Well, you know what? Okay, I don't see anything here that says I can't tell you what it's about, so I'll tell you. Listen, get close to your speaker. It's about a game called Heavy Fire Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
It's not out yet.
Uh-huh.
So, Jen, don't freak out. Okay. So, they're saying it is a super fast playing, high intensity experience set in modern day Afghanistan. Whether you're fighting up close and personal with guns and grenades, raining down fire from a helicopter, or laying waste with a main battle tank, Heavy Fire Afghanistan is all about consistent edge of the seat action and beautiful graphics combined with straightforward intuitive controls to give you hardcore gamers and novices an immediately fun pick up and play experience. 24 high octane missions, more than 60 awards, ranks and equipment upgrades, leaderboards, and 1-4 players co-op play is what I got so far about it. So you keep your eyes on us. And we will have more details to come. And that is all that I can. Oh, I can tell you what console is going to be out for. PS3, Wii, or PC.
No Xbox. Huh, that's interesting. I guess I won't be playing it unless it's on the PC. Well, I could on the Wii. Wait, on the Wii? I don't know.
I cannot say a word of what I just said. I'm like, juice.
Yes.
Juice. I can't say anything juice. Just keep watching us. We'll have more information coming. I can't say anything.
Yeah. We've been talking about this game, or at least, you know, we've read a couple of stories about it recently.
Stop it, Jen. Oh, I can't say anything.
I'm trying to get it out of her, people. I really am. She's not working with me.
She's good. If she had Link by the neck and she's threatening me, I would tell her everything.
What's her Link? Do I have a Link in my house?
Oh, it's here hanging on my wall. Look at me holding out a sword. It's in. Right here with you, baby. Right here with you.
Yes, her little plushy Link that I sent her.
Yes, you did. You know what? I was going to take him in the car with me, but I got scared somebody would break in and steal him. I was going to hang him from the car. I was like, man, if I came into the car, take anything, just don't take my Link. He stays here in the house where he's safe. I may stick him with me out today, though, in my purse. Look, I'm going to stick his head out and I'm going to zip it up so it looks like he's peeking.
Yes, we demand pictures of that.
You know what? I'm doing it and I will tweet pictures. Yes, I will.
Yes, we like that. All right, y'all know, besides fishing games, I love me some steampunk stuff.
I had something to tell you about some steampunk. Go ahead, but I'll tell you later.
Ooh. Mechanist Games returns from GDC China thrilled. Listen up, steampunk fans. Indie game developer Mechanist Games just returned from Shanghai with huge success in its demonstration of Steam City, which, by the way, I have a video up of on GameMatrix.com this morning. It's beautiful. Sensational hit, City of Steam, the story-driven, browser-based debut MMORPG from Mechanist Games, caused a sensation among the attendees and visitors. After a total redesign, the cooldown-based combat system guarantees that City of Steam has an excellent balance between real-time and strategy. Hundreds of attendees took their turn at Mechanist Games' corner booth to test the game. Most of them were incredibly impressed by the high-quality graphics and smooth gameplay of City of Steam. Many were interested in how such a vast 3D levels could be packaged into a small 1 to 3 megabyte downloads. IGF China's close attention should be paid to the indie game community, as the entrants in IGF China this year were full of creative innovations. Congratulations go to the Feng Li and... All right, yeah, that doesn't matter. Anyway, I've got videos of this game up on GameNatrix.com. I even gave you the Facebook, the webpage, the YouTube, the Twitter, and their forum. Go over and check it out. I love it. It's beautiful. It's so pretty. I can't wait to play. I want to play. Come on, people, please.
You know what? It would be helpful if I wasn't muted. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Ginger apparently got pulled into the Minecraft madness over the weekend.
Uh-oh.
You played Gang Wars, didn't you?
Oh, God, yeah, I did.
Yeah. So she got pulled in. Along with several million others of you, the indie video game sensation Minecraft is going from strength to strength, apparently, as demonstrated by figures unveiled at this week's Minecon. Yes, they have a Minecon convention in Las Vegas. Yes, in Las Vegas.
Around like a year.
Yeah, they are serious business over at Minecraft. They've been around since 2009, but only received a formal release last Friday with the Minecraft 1.0 iteration. Despite this, the game has more than 16 million users, one of which is Ginger, and has already sold over 4 million copies. Following the release of Minecraft 1.0, GameFront is reporting that logins to the game have jumped from 1,000 per second to, get this, 4,000 per second.
Holy crap.
Minecraft is currently attracting around 241 million logins, and I'm rounding down every single month from players who have helped it generate an estimated $50 million in revenue since launch. Pretty impressive figures for a game that was initially created by one person, Marcus Persson, they're asking who's our next Bill Gates / Steve Jobs. Yeah, is he single? This is our next Bill Gates, Steve Jobs right here. Here he is. This is what you do with your talent, hackers. And, of course, has been distributed without the support of a major digital distribution service such as Steam. So he's done this all on his own. At first, Minecraft has recently been pitched against big-budget titles such as Battlefield 3 and Portal 2 in the best PC game category at this year's Video Game Awards, a move that was met with surprise.
Wins hands down.
Minecraft, you said? Or did you say Microsoft?
Yeah.
I thought you said Microsoft. Because this was met with surprise and delight by a person who tweeted, "Wait, we're up against best PC game against BF3, Witcher 2, and Portal 2? Whoa." Both an Android and iOS version of Minecraft have recently been released, and Minecraft developer Jens Bergenstein revealed last week that these will eventually allow Android and iOS owners to play the game together. Yes, together. Remember I spoke of the game in Utopia? Beautiful. There's also an Xbox 360 arcade version of the game, also slated for release soon. Could be about 2012 or even, could 2012 be an even bigger year for Minecraft? I'm betting yes. I think Rovio needs to step on back. You don't have an Angry Bird Con, do you?
Mm-hmm. No. Thank God, please don't.
Oh.
I'm disowning y'all.
To that effect, I do want to start telling you guys where you can start shopping if you're off today or if you're at work and you got time during your lunch break. I normally would not do this. Angry Bird plushies are on sale somewhere for $4.99. It's either Walmart or Target. If you have a little one that likes Angry Birds, you can probably pick up all four of them. They would go nuts. I think they're the squeezable kind where they make the noise when you, yeah. And I'll be out, of course, a lot this week before Black Friday and after, looking around to see what's on sale, where you can go get stuff. And, of course, this year I will be posting our tips on how to shop during Christmas time in the hood, because that's where all the games are that you can't find. When they tell you they're sold out. Seriously, they're never sold out in the hood, but you gotta be ready to go shop in the hood. You cannot roll up in your Range Rover with your bling on. You gotta, you know, take it down quite a bit. No makeup, you wear your jeans, your sneakers. Yeah, but we'll be posting that up on the site just so you guys know how to do it.
I don't know what I think about this.
What, going to the hood to shop?
Yeah.
I did it. I had to go do it to get a Guitar Hero a long time ago, but I had no rings on. Credit card in, you know, in with the fluffy cakes. The cell phone there was 911 dialed, so if I needed to, I reach in and hit send. Yeah. So that's how you roll when you go shopping. You walk in, you don't make eye contact. You get what you came to get, and you get out quickly. Don't stop to talk to anybody. Don't be like, hey, how you doing? No. And it's not that it's dangerous, but it is Christmas time, which normally it's not that dangerous. Nobody in the hood is after you, but Christmas time, you could be anywhere. Our high crime area, believe it or not, in Houston during Christmas time is also the richest area of Houston.
That always amazed me, but, you know, you are right.
It's
kind of crazy how that works out.
But I want you to be careful in the hood because, yeah, obviously, yeah, it's Christmas time. We want you to be safe. Anyway. I got some tips. I'll post them to you. Is it my turn?
No. I think it's my turn.
Is it my turn?
I think it's
fine. Is it my turn? Okay.
All right. Montreal people, are y'all ready for some new jobs? Square Enix plans new studio expansion in Montreal.
I saw that. How exciting.
Yes. About time we see some new jobs. Of course, you know, it's coming from Square Enix, but, you know, hey, whatever. GamePolitics.com. Square Enix announced plans this morning to expand its presence in Montreal by adding jobs to its existing Eidos Montreal studio and opening a new studio in 2012 called Square Enix Montreal. Eidos Montreal, a studio which was established in 2007, released its first game, Deus Ex Human Revolution. To date, 2 million units of the game have been shipped worldwide. Square Enix is obviously pleased with the game's success, so much so that it will add 100 new jobs to Eidos Montreal and start a third project out of the studio. The Montreal studio is responsible for the Deus Ex and Thief franchises at the moment. The studio will also expand its facilities by improving its in-house audio recording and motion tracking studios and with a mini theater. The new Square Enix Montreal will open in 2012 and create 150 jobs. The studio will be led by Lee Singleton, currently general manager of Square Enix London Studios. Singleton brings over 20 years studio management as well as direct development experience to this role. The first project at Square Enix Montreal will be to work on a new premium quality game in the Hitman franchise. They will work closely with series creators IO Interactive. Yoichi Wada, president and chief executive officer of Square Enix Holdings, says Montreal is a vibrant center of game creators with industry-leading talent and one of the most important faces of our global network of game development within the Square Enix group. All right, so if you're in the Montreal area, watch out for these jobs should be coming open, I would hope, fairly soon. So keep your head up.
Yay! Going to Montreal. Yes. Mm-hmm. Accidents. Oh, yeah. Hot. All right. HP, we got to ask you this morning. How you doing? Apparently, HP will report earnings today in the first quarterly results since Meg Whitman took over as chief executive of the technology industry giant in September. Whitman wasn't CEO for the entire quarter, which ended on October 31st, so she won't be entirely responsible for the company's earnings performance. I hate to tell you, Ms. Whitman, but it don't really matter. You're going to be blamed anyway. Ask Obama about that. Leo Apotheker preceded Whitman in the top job, but he was fired in September. Although he said he left, as the board lost confidence in his ability to communicate HP's strategy. Analysts expect HP to post non-GAAP adjusted earnings of $1.16 a share. I was talking about millions, on their revenue of current $32.2 billion compared to their $1.33 a share and revenue of $33.3 billion a year ago. Since taking over, Whitman reversed Apotheker's plan to sell or spin out the personal computer division. Thank goodness, because a lot of people in Houston were going to lose jobs. Whitman is expected to offer some guidance for HP's expected performance in the coming fiscal year. For the fiscal year 2012, the analysts expect earnings of $4.56 a share on revenue of $126 billion in revenue. Such a performance would still make HP's tech industry's largest, make HP the tech industry's largest producer, but the stock doesn't reflect that. HP's market capitalization is a weak $5.61 billion these days. By comparison, Apple is worth $343.3 billion. Intel, although I didn't even know they were still around, is still worth more than HP at $119.7 billion. And Microsoft is worth $210.1 billion.
Wow.
I think I may go buy just one share of stock. And just for you people who are not familiar with stock, when we say $1.16 a share, it literally is $1.16. So if you got an extra $1.16, go invest it in something, your favorite company. Start earning some of your money back as gamers.
Yeah.
It's part of the reason why we tell you this on this show is a lot of us as gamers just we just game. But you should be involved in the industry one way or another. Help keep it afloat or make your money back. Make your gaming money back.
Like
I said, I own stock at Starbucks. As much money as I spend there, I want some of that back.
Yes, and it's not hard. It's not expensive. It's really easy to set yourself up an account and do this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. You go to ShareBuilder.com. It's absolutely free. Don't go to those E-Trade and stuff. Not that E-Trade is not good, but they want a monthly fee. But ShareBuilder will let you literally sign up. I think right now during Christmas they're actually giving you money. So when you sign up, they're going to put $20 into your account in addition to what you have. You can set it up.
A couple extra stocks.
Yep, and you can set it up to come out of your bank account, and it's $1.16. You can buy a share every month or something or every week, however you get paid, and then maybe stop it, watch the stock, see if you earn some money, and then turn around and sell it, get you a little money back. Just saying, people.
Yeah, I need to look and see where my money's going in that. I haven't checked mine in a while.
I haven't checked mine either. I try not to look because, that day, one day Microsoft was doing well, and I was looking at my money going, man, I could take that out and get me a brand new laptop. No.
That's because I think part of it was going towards Sony, and I don't want to do that anymore.
I can't until I make money back from Sony. We lost a lot for the PS and Oculus, so I'm staying in until I make that money back. Then I'm leaving you, Sony. It's over.
Over, Sony. It's over.
But I will never leave.
I'm wrong for the last time.
Look, but Starbucks, I will never leave you. I love you, Starbucks.
Corey, I love you. You're such a goof.
It'll never be over between us. All right, guys, it's time for us to take a very quick break. I forgot what I was going to play, so we'll just play some of this right here for you guys. Remember, you can find us on GamerNation.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, Blog Talk Radio. Apparently, we're in Gang Wars now because that's where Ginger is.
Yes. I was shooting some people. Oh, it was very nice.
Second Life, anywhere you want to find us. Remember, Thursday, there will be no Gamer Girls Radio, but we may have a best of show for you if you're just at home chilling by yourself, eating your turkey, playing you some Halo Anniversary, which you hear in the background. Go ahead and crank us through your speakers. It'd be funny to hear people hear a bunch of girls talking in the background. They'll be like, let's go at your house.
I was out exercising this weekend and I had that blare, and that was nice.
What, the Halo dubstep?
Uh-huh, the Halo dubstep.
I may have to do that and make sure I don't take any frag grenades out with me. Cause
it was very nice. It was very nice.
I know somebody just said, what is she doing with frag grenades? Where did she get them from? I bought them at Walmart.
True story.
We'll see you guys later. Or in a few minutes, rather. out walking, sis?
I totally was. I had people looking at me like, what in the world?
She's got the plasma sword out. And she's doing the jumping.
Oh, yes. Oh, that would have been awesome.
No, it is not awesome. Bad picture.
Says you.
No cutting people with the plasma sword. Although it would be interesting to watch. I would not lie to you.
Yes. It was.
It was my turn. Is it my turn again?
No, actually, I think it's probably mine. And I was posting more news, so. Am I lying?
I'm telling you, you lie. You lie.
I don't think I'm lying. I may be lying, though.
I don't know.
All right, so I guess I'd better grab a story.
Because GLaDOS is after you, by the way, just so you know.
GLaDOS, you better let go of me. I'm going to stab you in your little face.
Oh, man, she is feisty.
Yes, I am. All right, you elite people. Okay. And then I just totally moved away from that because, yeah. All right, Call of Duty Elite fully operational by December 1st, says Beachhead. Beachhead Studios, the development team in charge of the Call of Duty Elite social and stat tracking network from Activision, and in other words, Facebook for Call of Duty, are promising that the service will be fully operational by December 1st. In a recent interview with G4 TV, Vice President of Production Daniel Suarez says that he accepts responsibility for the widely reported problems with the service since its launch. Yes, you should. They kind of have to bear with us while we bring this all back up, but for us, it's literally give us those couple of weeks. We're giving those to you for free, and come December 1st, the goal is that we'll have everything up and running.
Whatever.
When we ran our beta, it was strictly on the PC, and a lot of our assumptions were based around the idea that a larger majority of users were going to use the PC interface, since it's a far more robust version of the service than the console app. Some of that may have been incorrectly analyzed, because we're seeing 80 to 90% of our users coming straight from the console app. So the way we've had to balance out that's feeding the community is different. Right now, we are retrofitting that so that works better across the board rather than the way it was set up. Suarez dismissed the idea that an elite hub for PC is no longer in development, which took root following a tweet from the service's official account that said, "We cannot guarantee if or when a version will be available for the PC." Suarez said of the tweet, "It was a mistake. Our goal is to get something on the PC. We haven't set timing yet, but our goal is to do just that. On a PC, that's an open platform, which is more prone to cheats and hacks. We're trying to prevent them as much as possible, but that platform isn't as secure." Yes, in other words, y'all released this to make some money when it wasn't ready yet and should have gone through more beta testing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your wallet was more important than your consumers.
Oh, Ginger called y'all out.
So totally did. And for you people who are signing up for this, do you not already have Facebook? Can't you just, you know, do like everybody else does and put the 50 million tweets up of what you're doing every day? It's the same thing, right?
Pretty much.
So you are paying for these people to pretty much rip you off right now. That's nice. That's very nice. Y'all are smart.
Yes. All right. Oh, God. You know what? I forgot that I had charts, but you know what? You'll have to look at them later on the site because I opened them and then put them down at the bottom of the list. So, yeah, we'll tell you who was top 10. You can check that out a little bit later in the day. Wow. Well, I will tell you, Sony is partnering with Vodafone for its upcoming Vita. Yes. Have you ever used Vodafone?
No, it's not.
Those people are probably the most underrated They're the most underrated company I've ever seen, but they are brilliant. Way back in 2005, they had managed to create a program that would allow people that were inside Second Life to actually call people not in Second Life and talk to them. It's like if you had somebody that you know, if let's say you were quote-unquote dating or you met somebody new, you wanted to speak to them, but you didn't want to give them your information, you could call them. All they'd have to do is come into Second Life and sign up for an account and then connect it with your phone somehow. I don't remember, but I did use it once to test it out, and for some reason we never reviewed it for the site, but it was brilliant. Brilliant. These people are brilliant. So I'm not shocked that Sony scooped them up because they're like, nobody knows how brilliant they are. Of course, the Sony is part saying that with social gaming and connectivity at the heart of PlayStation Vita, it's important that we partner with a market-leading network provider to ensure users have a high-quality 3G experience. This is from the SCEE CEO, Jim Ryan. Partnering with Vodafone will enable PS Vita users in the selected countries to always be connected with their PlayStation Life, friends, games, wherever they are. The handheld device is due to launch again on February 22nd, so you're not getting it before Christmas. Breathe. It's okay. You don't have to buy all the consoles. They said, we want our customers to have the best choice of devices, and PlayStation Vita is a great addition to our range. This is from Patrick Chomet, who's Vodafone's group terminals director. As we know from our application downloads, that games are hugely popular with our customers, so we're delighted to see SCEE's preferred connectivity partner for 3G Vita devices sold across Europe and other selected regional markets. The partnership will extend across a number of territories: UK, Ireland, Italy, Germany, Spain, Portugal, Australia, New Zealand, and the Netherlands, and via SFR in France, so we're probably not going to get it here. Using the device under Vodafone's high-performance network with extensive... What happened?
Video for a game started playing. It was
loud. Oh, I thought you were telling me to stop.
No,
with extensive 3G market reach and market-leading download speeds, brings a reliable anywhere, anytime dimension to gaming. I'm not happy that Sony is charging for, you know, their service, but this was a very good choice, I think, for them, because, like I said, Vodafone, here in the U.S., we don't hear a lot about them, but...
I remember hearing the name, but I've never used them.
And they had a really big presence in Second Life, I think, but it was too early. I think if they came back now, they would be just off the chain.
Well, you've got voice chat. How do you...
Well, no, not just the voice chat, but, you know, say you're out somewhere and... Let's say you and I didn't know each other. You didn't know me that well. You didn't really want to give me your phone number, but we were talking and something would happen. Yeah, then I could call you, and it would ring to your phone without me having your phone number, without you, you know, us having to exchange any information. So there was something else
that would be kind of cool.
Oh, it was also allow texting back and forth with the person. So if I'm sitting around in Second Life, you're out on your phone, we could
I do like that.
Yeah, but I think they were too far ahead of their time. Second Life and their world in general was not ready for all of that.
As it would be now.
Yeah, now.
They could even make a nice chunk of change charging people for that kind of setup.
Yeah, I paid, I think, 1,000 lindens at the time to get the little app.
Not bad. I would do that.
And it was actually a HUD, so within the world, and then the other person had the HUD, and you put in your information and connect you right up. So
that is cool.
Yeah, so I know a lot of the features may not be usable, but I like the one of not having to reveal your information. This allows you, people who run businesses in Second Life, say, you know what, we run a business together, but I don't really know you. I don't really want you having all my information. It still allows you to maintain contact without having to share everything. Because some people, of course, in Second Life, think that you should tell them everything about
yourself. Yes.
I want to know your Facebook page. Why can't you tell me your Facebook? Because you're crazy.
I don't have one. That's my story.
I'll tell them I have one, but you ain't getting it, just to let them know that I think you're crazy. You're not deserving of my information.
People are nuts. Just nuts. All right. I guess it's my turn. There we go. Petroglyph partners with Alienware for Rise of Immortals 2011 Holiday Challenge. In-game event rewards top players with Alienware hardware to celebrate game's new integration with AlienFX lighting zones. Petroglyph today announced that it has partnered with Alienware for the Rise of Immortals 2011 Holiday Challenge. This in-game event for the free-to-play multiplayer online battle arena MOBA game challenges players to rack up the most amount of game time through December 21st. Winners will receive Alienware hardware and in-game currency. Beginning at 12:01 PST on November 22nd, Rise of Immortal players will be invited to compete on the game's 5 versus 5 player map as often as possible through midnight PST on December 21st. The players who rack up the most in-game time, as determined by Petroglyph, will receive the following prizes. First prize will be an Alienware M14X laptop.
Oh, say it slow.
With an MSRP of $1,400. Alienware Tactics keyboard. Alienware Tactics mouse. Alienware Tactics headset, and will also receive one copy of every item currently available on the Rise of Immortals in-game store. Second place, Alienware Tactics keyboard, Alienware Tactics mouse, and 5,000 Petroglyph points for use in the Rise of Immortals in-game store.
And third place gets an Alienware Tactics headset and 2,000 petroglyph coins. An additional 50 players chosen at random will receive 1,000 petroglyph coins just for playing during the holiday challenge. A player can increase their chances of being selected to receive free coins by logging into the game and actively participating in a match every day during the event period. In addition, everyone who logs into the game during the event period will receive a special limited-time Alienware-themed skin for the Immortal Cycle Zone. New players will also receive 200 petroglyph coins. The Rise of Immortals 2011 Holiday Challenge celebrates the game's new integration with AlienFX. Players who play Rise of Immortals on compatible Alienware systems will receive the AlienFX lighting zones, respond to in-gaming events, turning their PCs into a real-world extension of the game world.
Okay. All right.
Yes. So I've got this up on GameNatrix.com this morning. If you want to check it out, head over there.
Woot woot.
Free to play?
No, you did not.
Yes, it's free to play.
That's hot.
Yes.
Well, it looks like Square Enix is all over the news this morning. This one's going to be short because we only got 3 minutes left anyway, and it's short, so it's perfect. Square Enix is apparently going to be on the Android marketplace. They're planning to launch their own Android app store called the Square Enix Market on December 1st. Yes, in just a few short days. According to Andrea Sain, the games available will include Dragon Quest Monsters Most Wanted, Chaos Ring, Final Fantasy, and Chrono Trigger, and Itadaki Street? I don't know what it is, but it sounds interesting. Japanese mobile users on the KDDI network will get exclusive access to the store on launch, with Docomo and SoftBank expected to follow soon after. Of course, earlier this month, Square Enix recorded a six-month profit of 3.7 billion yen, and that is a lot of money in U.S. dollars. I don't know what the exact one is, but yeah. And we're supposed to be translating for you, we told you, but we don't have time. Anyway, I am excited. See, I told, what was that guy all those months ago that was talking all that smack about these old companies are the past and we're the future because we make apps on the Android?
Mm-hmm.
See, these are, I'm sorry to tell you, these are the real developers, and when they step onto the marketplace, their games are going to be good.
Yeah.
And they're going to kick your little butt, and they already are. So now you got Square Enix there. You got, I'm thinking we're going to get some more Microsoft apps. I don't know why I feel that way, but I feel like after Christmas time, right before they get ready to launch the new Xbox, before we start hearing about it, they're going to just bust it out. And you all are going to be in trouble. All right. It's time for us to go.
Yes. Yes, it is.
We've got about 2 minutes, but we'll see you guys bright and early tomorrow. You do get us twice tomorrow, just not twice on Thursday, but we'll have a lot to say when we come back the following Thursday.
Yes. Yes, we will.
Ooh. And, of course, we'll still be around on the site. You can find us. Well, I'll probably be hovering somewhere around. Feel free to tweet me, email me. I always have my phone near me somewhere.
I've always got everything up, so.
Mm-hmm. She does.
Mm-hmm.
She loves y'all.
Yes, I do. I love y'all. Mwah, 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 mwah.
All right. Just so y'all know. Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, this is going to be an ugly Monday. All right. I'll see you guys out. Me and Link are headed out. Play this for him. I love you, Link. Yes, me and Link attached at the hip. Look, he says he's ready for lunch too. He's looking at me.
Lunch does sound good.
He says he's going to pay with rupees. Thank you, Link. They don't accept rupees. God, I love the song.
later, boys and girls.